All of us at QuickFit would like to say a big thank you to each and every one of our customers. That's why we're offering MOTs for just £35. To help you pass, here's a little tip to check your tire tread at home. Simply place the bottom edge of a 20 pence piece into the tread, and if you see less than half of the number 20, then your tread is legal. Get down to your local QuickFit and book your £35 MOT today. QuickFit, it's all about the service.
Wednesday, February 15th, 2017, you are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, sports writer from Denver, Colorado. Hey, you know, we talk sports every single Wednesday, and we really don't do the typical sports talk. You know, we've been accused in the past of being more of the thinking person's sports talk show. We aren't going to argue about whether or not the Patriots just wanted it more than the Falcons. See, that's not how sports actually works. That's silly stuff. That's stuff they do on other sports shows. We don't do that stuff. We'd rather make fun of the sports world, hopefully make you laugh once or twice, maybe share some actual insight on how sports actually does work. If you'd like to recommend the podcast, and we would appreciate that so, so much, please let your friends, your family, your coworkers know. They can subscribe to it pretty much anywhere podcasts are hosted. You can go to iTunes, Stitcher, Podcast Republic. You can go to Google Play. You can go to Audio Boom. You can go to Blog Talk Radio. They have all the episodes actually over at Blog Talk Radio if you just want to go there, blogtalkradio.com. Or you can even head over to our website, dailydosesports.wordpress.com. You will find new articles there every single week. New article went up this week. Actually, a new poll went up. We had a poll go up talking a little bit about the New York Knicks controversy, the whole thing with Charles Oakley and their owner, James Dolan, and who is really to blame with what is going on with the New York Knicks right now. You might want to head over to dailydosesports.wordpress.com and check that out. Also, be sure to stop by our podcast network, rogueintel.com. Of course, Rogue Intel is a family of podcasts of which The Daily Dose is a proud member. If you want to head over to Rogue Intel, you are sure to find a number of podcasts that you are going to get addicted to. You are going to listen to each and every week. So head over to Rogue Intel and check that out. If you got a question, maybe you have a comment, maybe you've got some feedback for the show, or you've got a suggestion for something that you'd like to hear, feel free to hit us up. You can hit us on email, dailydosesports@gmail.com, and you can also find us over on Twitter or Facebook. Both of those handles are at Daily Dose Sports. And feel free to shoot us a message and let us know what is on your mind. Today on the show, of course, the 2016 NFL season is now officially over.
Did you say over? Nothing is over until we decide it is. Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor?
Well, yeah, exactly. Nothing is over until we say it is. Today on the Daily Dose, we are actually going to be wrapping up the 2016 NFL season. Good friend of the show, Larry from Centennial, will stop by, and we will discuss the best, the worst few awards that we may have to hand out from the NFL year that was. Number of interesting things that took place in the NFL this year, and who better to take that out with us than Larry, because he was here when we brought in the season. So Larry's going to stop by, chat a little bit about the NFL season. Major League Baseball is looking to make a few changes to what it is that they do want to discuss those. The NBA All-Star Game is coming. Give you an idea of what to expect there. And of course, you have to be sure to stick around for our Daily Dose Top 5. You never want to leave before you hear the Daily Dose Top 5. You never know which way it's going to go, but it is always worth your attention to stick around and listen to that. Let me ask you this, the big question on everybody's mind today: how was your Valentine's Day? Here's the real question that I have for you. What was more painful, Valentine's Day or that first Sunday without any football whatsoever? Whew, that was rough, wasn't it? Sunday was rough. No football, no Super Bowl, no playoffs, no nothing. Nothing even to look forward to. It's kind of a rough day. Valentine's Day, first Sunday without football. Both kind of leave you feeling empty and cold, honestly. Both bring back memories of better times. And both kind of make you wish you were just having a pizza and, you know, watching just one more game, don't they? It's kind of how both of them felt. You know, the problem is that you probably spent a whole lot more money on that Valentine's Day, didn't you? You know, it used to be, remember the good old days? Remember those old days? You spent like 99 cents on a box full of crappy Valentines, and you got like 25 Valentines back because your third grade teacher said, hey, everybody has to give a Valentine to every other stupid kid in class. Remember those days? That's a little bit better than what you had now, isn't it? You're kind of wishing you had those days now. Now you're spending a few $100 just to not get in trouble. That's not to get anything in return. Now, $80 flowers, the $40 chocolates, the $100 dinner, that was just the bare minimum so you didn't have to sleep on the couch. If you wanted something in return, yeah, that price tag goes up a little bit. That price tag goes up like Andy Reid's heart rate when he's peeling an orange. That's going to get a little bit more pricey. Valentine's Day, not quite the fun that everybody makes it out to be, is it? Of course, you may have heard the news this week in college football that Hall of Fame coach Kansas State's Bill Snyder has been diagnosed with throat cancer. They say he's expected to not miss any time. If you're not going to miss time for throat cancer, honestly, when are you going to miss time? That is as big of an excuse as you would ever have. Bill Snyder is not going to miss for that. Says he's been diagnosed, says he's been receiving outpatient treatment at the KU Medical Center for about 3 weeks, says he's doing fine and he expects to be on the field for spring practices. Bill Snyder is 77 years old, oldest active coach in college football. Has the third most wins among active football coaches. He's just behind Brian Kelly and Nick Saban. I mean, his record is 202, 105, and 1 in 25 seasons at Kansas State. Hey, nobody else in Kansas State history has more than 39 wins. I'd say his records are safe. Dude is not going anywhere, though. I don't know how he's doing it. I don't know whose blood he's living off of. I don't know how he's doing it, but I hope he continues to keep going. Did you see Major League Baseball trying to speed up their game? Not sure if you saw that. Major League Baseball is desperately trying to speed their game because it's starting to dawn on them that the average baseball fan is over 50 years of age. That's not me saying that. That's what the facts say. So in another 30 years, let's be honest, Major League Baseball parks are going to look a lot like Blockbuster video stars, right? At the rate we're going. So they're actually looking to speed up play a little bit. Few things on the table that Major League Baseball is going to experiment with. They say they're going to limit mound visits by players and by managers. Can't just come out every 5 seconds when you want to have a chat with your pitcher. You only get so many, and that's all you get. Hitters must stay in the batter's box. That's a pet peeve of mine. You don't need to step out, readjust literally every single article of clothing on your entire body. Glove, wristband, shin guard, elbow guard. You don't need to take every single thing off, step out of the batter's box, and then get back in between every pitch. Don't need to do that. They're talking about shrinking the strike zone. Saying that the strike zone has gotten bigger and bigger and bigger. They want to make it a little more uniform, a little smaller, and just kind of stick with that. They are going to try a few of these things out. In spring training, they're going to measure the results and we'll see what comes back. Here, though, is my personal favorite out of all the things they're talking about doing. Out of all the things they're talking about doing, they are going to try out putting a runner on second base anytime the game goes into extra innings. I'm not kidding. Major League Baseball is trying this out in spring ball. They are going to put a runner on second anytime the game goes into extra innings to try that out. Yeah, there's nothing that millennials find more exciting than the old sacrifice fly. Woo! Slow down, baseball. Nothing like a sacrifice fly to really spark some interest. That's good stuff. You better slow down. You're going to have a feeding frenzy on your hands. You keep this up. You know, I have a few other ideas maybe to help America's pastime. I've got ideas that make just as much sense as that. What if everyone starts with a ball and strike? Like you do in, you know, some of the softball leagues. What if you get a hit, you do a shot? That'd be fun. What if the home run wall is electrified? Why don't we do this? Why don't we just do what I've been saying for years? Let's just play home run derby instead of boring old baseball. You just put up five hitters, and then they put up their five hitters. I mean, come on. If you want to just get crazy, if you want to just get nuts.
All right. You want to get nuts? Come on. Let's get nuts.
Baseball getting just a little bit out there right now. You know, we give LeBron James a hard time about not keeping his Daily Dose New Year's resolution. I've got to give a little bit to Tiger Woods, too. You know, we asked back at New Year's that Tiger Woods learn to play with a little more finesse instead of trying to crush the ball like Barry Bonds. So far, that isn't working out so well. Woods was at least respectable when he played an event in the Bahamas back in December. He at least, I don't know, finished the round. Since then, he missed the cut at Torrey Pines and played just one round at Dubai before pulling out with back pain yet again. Now, he has pulled out of upcoming events and playing at Augusta in April, not looking so good. I have a feeling that Tiger is not going to be at the Masters come April. That's not very far out. He just can't lay up. He just can't do it. He continues to put too much stress on that surgically repaired back. I've been saying it for 4 years now, and I feel bad saying it. I genuinely do. Tiger Woods is done competitively. Like, we can hope, we can pray every year, like I'm hoping maybe he'll put together just four decent days. Maybe he'll come out and he'll show just a flash, or maybe he'll change his game enough that we can see him. Hey, he adjusted. Instead of just crushing the ball, he went out and he laid up a little bit. He was a little smarter with his game. I don't see it. And as a result, I don't see any reason to have any hope that Tiger Woods is ever going to do anything competitively again. He's basically done. It's sad to see, but he has not been able to make that adjustment. Did you see Kevin Durant go back to Oklahoma City on Saturday night? That was interesting. That was at least a little bit of drama in the NBA season, being the NBA season is so long and so boring and monotonous after a while. But Kevin Durant going back to Oklahoma City on Saturday night, you saw a lot of the cupcake signs. And of course, we saw Russell Westbrook talking trash. You know what would have been better than the cupcake signs? And you know what would have been better than Westbrook and everybody booing and everybody being mad at KD? Maybe not giving up 130 at home. That would have been pretty cool. You know, I realize that we're supposed to look at Kevin Durant as the villain for leaving. And I've told you, I didn't like the move. When Durant left, I didn't like it. I grew up in an era when guys didn't leave. That wasn't what happened. Dr. J didn't go join the Celtics. Hakeem Olajuwon didn't go, oh, I'm just going to become a Los Angeles Laker. And of course, Michael Jordan didn't go to Detroit. I wanted Kevin Durant to stay in Oklahoma and win and bring a title there. But I also understand why he left. He left for a couple of reasons. It wasn't just one reason. I know the first thing we say. The first thing we say is Kevin Durant left because he wanted a ring. I get it. I understand. We put so much pressure on these guys. What's the first thing that Shaquille O'Neal, what's the first thing that LeBron James say about Charles Barkley? Well, you never won a title. Like, that's the end-all argument for everything. Well, you never won a title. We put a ton of pressure on these guys to win a championship. I get it. But let's be real clear. That wasn't the only reason that Kevin Durant left. There were a couple of other reasons, but the biggest other reason that he left, I truly believe, was that he wanted to play with guys that truly understand how to play the game. So on Saturday night, in Oklahoma City, people are booing him, people are talking trash to him, everybody's holding up the cupcake signs. I get it. I understand it. But understand this. Saturday night, in that game, completely and entirely showed us exactly why Kevin Durant left to begin with. It had everything. We saw it all right there. First, the Warriors won the game. Won the game pretty easily, let's be honest. Led by like 20 for most of the game. So I understand that side of it. Hey, he went there to win. And we saw Saturday night, they rolled the Thunder like they weren't even in the building. But second, he played on a team that played highly intelligent, highly skilled basketball. On Saturday night, the Warriors shot 53% from the field. I didn't think they had a great game. They shot 53% from the field. They handed out 28 assists, and they committed just 12 turnovers. That's intelligent basketball. That's fun basketball. As a pure basketball player, you have to understand, Kevin Durant is looking at this going, this is the most fun basketball-wise I can possibly have. 28 assists, we're all sharing. No one cares who's getting the points. Just 12 turnovers? No stupid forced passes? No idiotic passes that have no business being made? No terrible shots? They shot 53%. No just stupid shot. Why would you shoot that? That's a terrible shot. They didn't do that. Meanwhile, his ex-teammate, Russell Westbrook, who is having a phenomenal year, went out and scored 47 points. Hey, it's not bad. 47? He took 26 shots, and he committed 11 turnovers by himself. Hey, you can be mad at Kevin Durant if you want, and I understand it. But understand why he did what he did. It's all showing. We all saw it. It's really understandable why he left. And if you think for 1 second that on Saturday night, he looked back and said, man, I sure made a mistake here. You're kidding yourself. He's going, I made the best decision of my entire life. Look at how this is turning out for me. It's all coming up great for me. NBA All-Star Weekend is coming up this weekend in New Orleans. Honestly. The best part about All-Star Weekend is that now we get to see Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook get to be on the same team, and I don't know, they have to like be nice to each other, play together. They're going to have to play together pretty much. I don't know if there's any way you can keep them apart. Of course, the NBA All-Star game itself is the worst part of the weekend, right? You don't watch the game. Like, you watch the events leading up to the game, maybe you turn on the beginning of the game, and then you shut off the game because it's like watching horrible rec league basketball. Like, you don't want to watch it. But a couple things that are coming up this weekend you might want to tune in for. Just want to remind you. Don't forget that Saturday night is the three-point contest and the dunk contest. Three-point contest has now passed the dunk contest. Like, it's the better of the two. Look at who we have competing in the three-point contest. Defending champion Klay Thompson. 2013 winner Kyrie Irving, Kyle Lowry, Kemba Walker will be in it, Eric Gordon, Wes Matthews, CJ McCollum, and Nick Young. Yes, Swaggy P is going to be in the three-point contest. I have no idea what to expect, I'll be honest. But that's a pretty good lineup. That's not bad. Three-point contest should be worth your time to watch on Saturday night. Yes, we also have the dunk contest, which, of course, has fallen and fallen and fallen. You know, this year, in the dunk contest, I don't know if you realize this, there's only four guys in the whole thing. There are only four competitors in it. We have Aaron Gordon. We have DeAndre Jordan, who I would imagine would kind of be the favorite, wouldn't he? We have Derek Jones Jr. I have no idea who that person is. If you can tell me who Derek Jones Jr. is, let me know. Plays for Phoenix, maybe? I don't know. I have no idea. And we have Glenn Robinson III. That is your dunk contest. Four guys. Maybe that's better. I don't know. I got sick of seeing guy 7 and guy 8 go out and miss like 2 or 3 dunks. It can't possibly be any worse. But what I just want to remind you of, Saturday night, dunk contest, 3-point contest, not the worst way you can spend your Saturday, at least kind of having that on. You hopefully will be entertained. Okay? Kind of keep that in mind. Hey, we have a lot to get to. We are going to be discussing the 2016 NFL season with our good friend Larry from Centennial. We will be right back to do that and count down our Daily Dose top 5 in just a few minutes. Don't go anywhere. Stick around.
All of us at QuickFit would like to say a big thank you to each and every one of our customers. That's why we're offering MOTs for just £35. To help you pass, here's a little tip to check your tire tread at home. Simply place the bottom edge of a 20 pence piece into the tread, and if you see less than half of the number 20, then your tread is legal. Get down to your local QuickFit and book your £35 MOT today. QuickFit, it's all about the service.
Change is coming.
Change your journey.
Change your routine.
Change your scene.
Change your crew.
Change your talent.
Change your fears.
Dreams.
Limits.
Theories.
Boundaries.
Memories.
Hopes.
Change your summer at ncsyes.co.uk.
Dear podcast listener, we accept the fact that we have to sacrifice not only our Wednesdays, but our Fridays as well to entertain you. But we think you are crazy to make us do a promo telling you who we think we are. When you listen to our podcast, you think you know who we are, in the simplest terms, in the most convenient definitions. But what we found out is that each one of us is a dork.
I had the basket case.
And I'm a princess.
And I'm a pothead.
Does that answer your question? Sincerely yours, The Prime Podcast. Find out more at theprimepod.com. Think of the tender
things that we were working on. You like beer?
Beer.
You like rock and roll?
I'm allergic to penicillin.
Do you like drunk Australians?
Beer.
Do you like interviews with bands exploring facets of entertainers' lives best left to the imagination and possibly not presented on a radio show?
I don't know where this is going.
Jump on rogueintel.com/remedial.
Yeah, every time I go to get new body armor or some more drones, I always go to Amazon. But I don't just go to any Amazon. I go to rogueintel.com/Amazon. So this way I can help out my favorite podcast with every purchase I make. And I know I purchase a lot. Get to the chopper now!
Hey, you know, I wanted to sit down with Larry from Centennial, who did our NFL preview show back in, what was that, September. The NFL season, of course, has come and gone. But Larry, I have a few topics that I kind of want to pick your brain about, and we'll have to hand out a few awards as well. But Larry, thank you for joining us.
Hey, Clint, thank you for having me. I'm really excited to do a little review and see how horribly my predictions were at the beginning of the season.
You know what? I went back and I looked at our predictions. Our predictions really weren't that bad. We were in the ballpark on a few things. Obviously, a couple teams step up, a couple teams step back. If you had to pick your biggest disappointment for this 2016 NFL season, what team would you pick?
So if you're talking overall, of course, you know, being a Denver fan, I'm disappointed the Broncos didn't have a better showing. But
sure.
But if you're looking at the overall NFL season, yeah, I think you have to say the Carolina Panthers are the disappointment of the year.
Yeah, what'd they end up? Like 6-10, looked really, really bad. Everything that had gone right for them a year ago went just completely in another direction. Cam Newton struggled. The offensive line struggled. The wide receivers that we knew probably weren't that good really, really looked bad. Yeah, Carolina, definitely one of those disappointments. You know, the two teams that stand out to me, the Cincinnati Bengals and the Arizona Cardinals. Man, what happened to Arizona?
Well, I've jumped off the Arizona bandwagon, you know, for a full year now. I thought they showed some promise, you know, not last year, a year before.
Yep.
And they really, I thought they were the disappointment of the year that year. So I hadn't looked at them actually this year as being, you know, that much of a threat. I know a lot of people did. They were, you know, they were projected to do pretty well, but I just couldn't hang with them this year. I kind of lost all that confidence from the year before.
It's tough to get on board with Carson Palmer at this stage in his career, and I guess he just announced that he will be back this next year.
Yeah.
It's tough. It seemed to me that playoff loss the previous year just stayed with him.
I think so, and I guess it's kind of a where the NFL's at. I think in Arizona they're probably glad he's there, because when you look around, certainly we do here in Denver,
sure,
there's not a ton of great options. So if you have a guy who's been in the league, knows what he's doing, knows how to get a lot out of the offense, and works well with their offensive weapons, who wouldn't want Carson Palmer back, I guess, you know?
Yeah.
At this stage, you have to say that he's in at least a good, or if not better than, you know, the last couple of years Manning was with Denver. So you keep those guys.
Well, you know, the Minnesota Vikings going into the season this year, we're all kind of looking at Minnesota saying, hey, they might be, and then they lose Teddy Bridgewater.
Right.
Takes a step back. But they started off so good that I think people started to talk themselves in, hey, maybe Sam Bradford really can lead this team. Minnesota has to be a big disappointment this year, too.
Yeah, I think a lot of people were fooled, though, and I think if Bridgewater would have been around, that would have held true. But, you know, gosh, that happened so early in the season that I don't know if I really chalk that up to a disappointment. Yeah, it was heartbreaking for fans of Minnesota because I think they had their sights set on such a great season. But that happened so early.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, you can't really be disappointed. And like you said, they did start off pretty well. But, you know, it's hard to sustain without your number one quarterback.
If you were looking at kind of more the pleasant surprise, the team that surprises in a better way as opposed to taking this huge step back, what team surprised you? I mean, I guess the Atlanta Falcons are the biggest surprise out there, but are there any teams that stood out to you that surprised you in a good way?
Yeah, you know, I thought about the Falcons, but we'll save that one for later. I don't know that they really were a surprise. I think, you know, the year before was a little bit of an aberration, and so I was not surprised by Atlanta, but I'll tell you who I was surprised by in our own division. I was surprised by Kansas City. They end up with a 12-win season.
Yeah.
And I know, you know, people have been on the Kansas City bandwagon for a long time now. This year, I think with some breaks, it finally paid off in that 12-win season. I certainly didn't see that coming. I don't think, you know, there's not a lot different at the outset of this season. There wasn't a lot different with the team that made you think that they were going to, you know, put 12 wins on the board.
Sure.
But I was surprised by Kansas City.
Yeah, Kansas City was good down the stretch. I was so disappointed at the way they finished against Pittsburgh. And I think it's hard to kind of separate the two and say, because they were a pleasant surprise. They were a team that ended up, like you said, winning 12 games. The way they closed out against Pittsburgh, you kind of forget all the good that they did all year.
I totally agree with you. You'd like for somebody who does put 12 wins up during the year to have a little better showing. I don't know. That's tough for all those fans, you know, who
sure
really thought they had something going in the playoffs, and then they just laid that egg.
The Miami Dolphins kind of surprised me a little bit. I didn't think they'd even be in playoff contention. They kind of sneak into the playoffs.
There's another one. That's a pretty surprising team for sure. Yeah, there they were at the end, right?
Yeah.
Not with, you know, they've got the quarterback, but what else they got? You know,
yeah.
Nothing.
That defensive line is pretty good. It just seems like that on the defensive side of the ball in Miami, it's a lot of talent and not that much production ever.
Correct. I would agree with that. You know, on the opposite side, in the NFC there, I think Cowboys are surprising.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody thought that with two rookies, you know, they'd have the season they had, but there they were.
Where does Tony Romo end up, on a side note?
You know, if I'm Dallas, he ends up right where he is.
I agree.
I would re-sign him.
I would, too. I wouldn't get rid of him.
I think he's in the position. Now, I don't know this, you know, pure speculation on my part, but I think he wants to be a Cowboy. I think he'd even, you know, sit in that backup QB spot. And as we all know, there's more teams out there that need their backup QBs.
In almost every single year, you have to go to them at least once.
Every year. And wouldn't that be a great, you know, ace in the hole if they were be able to rely on him? You might have to pay him a little, and he might, you know, have to make some compromise on his side. But I think he's going to stay in Dallas.
Yeah, I think that's probably, honestly, I know it gets thrown out there a lot. He should go to Houston. He should go to Denver. He should go here. I think that's the perfect place for him. And honestly, when you look at the Dallas Cowboys' strength of schedule this year, let's be real clear. They got to skate on a bunch of really, really bad teams. And it's not going to be that way next year. You may need Tony Romo a lot more than you think you do next year.
Yeah, first place schedule, and it won't be, let's get to the playoffs. It'll be, we need to win some games.
I believe they have the AFC West next year.
I believe you're right.
And that won't be easy. The AFC West has turned into a very, very competitive division. If you look back at 2016, what's your most memorable moment, the moment that you will take away from this past year? From the NFL?
This past year from the NFL, the memorable moment for me is the very beginning of the season. And I hate to even say this, but, you know, the Patriots didn't lose those games that everybody thought they were going to lose.
Yeah.
And they set themselves up nicely in those four games to do what they did, I think, during the year. And you don't have to think back too far. When they lost that home field advantage in the playoffs, and it cost them. Well, they didn't do that last year, and I'm firmly in the belief that they took care of things in those first four games when they were supposed to lose three out of the four, and that didn't happen.
Bill Belichick's really, really good, and I know the cheating thing, and I'm not even talking about his player evaluations because I don't know as much on that side of it. But as far as a week-to-week coach doing what he does well, taking away what you do well, either he is the luckiest guy in the world or he is really, really good. Maybe it's a little bit of both.
Well, I think it always, luck has a certain, there's a certain element of luck in everything, the NFL injuries, plays, things like that. But no, sure. He's a great coach. You have to give him all the credit in the world. And again, people were counting on them to lose games at the beginning of the season, and they just didn't do it. And
no,
they didn't do it without, the best player on their team.
Yeah, what he did there was so impressive, and the fact that he was rolling out guys, and I know people are acting like, these backup quarterbacks, like, well, these guys may end up being great for how do I just know that Garoppolo and Jacoby Brissett, that they'll never amount to anything no matter where they go?
Right.
It was just right place, right time, and Belichick coached him up, and that's just what he does. It seems like, okay, I've got to have you help me hand out a few NFL awards.
Okay, fantastic.
Okay, our first award we are going to hand out, and feel free. You don't have to go with, in fact, you're better off if you don't go with what the writers select. Feel free to hand out whoever you want to. Most valuable player of the NFL this season is who?
I'm going with the guy they pick. I was a Matt Ryan fan.
Okay.
And still am. I know. Sure. I know things didn't end up the way they wanted, and he made some critical errors.
Yeah.
But I think just like other teams we've seen that rely on their quarterback, Atlanta made a huge comeback this year. They ripped Denver, a good defense, apart. They played well. They had a great season. He's the leader that Atlanta needed. For all those reasons, I give Matt Ryan the MVP of the league.
I understand that completely. I'm going to go in a different direction on my most valuable player. And when I say it, you're going to say that I'm out of my mind, but I'll bring you around. My most valuable player for the NFL season is Oakland Raiders quarterback Derek Carr. Because as soon as he went out, that team went from a team. I was seriously looking at the Raiders going, this might be the best team in the NFL. They went to like horrible in 1 week. There was that big of a drop off. All they lost was Derek Carr, but apparently he means that much. He must be the most valuable player.
Yeah.
Because they could beat anybody after that.
Too. And I have him as my offensive player. And I don't know, maybe those are interchangeable. But you're right. We knew that Oakland was going to be and is going to be a force, here for a couple of years. And I think Derek Carr is the reason. I mean, he's the real deal.
He is.
And to your point, he made such an impact on the entire team. He meant more to that team than certainly a lot of players mean to their team. There's guys who go out with injuries like Brady did.
Sure.
At the beginning of the season with the suspension. But, they didn't lose the way that Oakland did when their top guy went out. Yeah, that's a good point. And I can't argue with that.
Okay, so we're going to go offensive player of the year, and it sounds like we're just going to swap it because I have Matt Ryan, best offense all season until that last quarter of the Super Bowl. And you have Derek Carr for offensive player of the year?
Yes.
Okay. So yeah. we just swap those exactly. Who is your defensive player of the year?
So for defensive player of the year, I kind of went in a different direction also.
Okay.
And it's not going to be somebody you think of. It's a guy for Kansas City, Tyreek Hill. He put those guys in such a great place.
Yes, he did.
Their offense to either not have to go on the field or put him in a great place for field position. He's my defensive player of the year, and I know he's not a defensive player, but he acted like it.
He absolutely did, and like you said, how many times did he set them up in great field position? Did he flip the field? Tyreek Hill had a phenomenal season.
And he came out of nowhere. Chiefs knew who he was, and he definitely surprised a lot of teams. And again, it's a... you look at those special teams plays that he had, and they completely flipped the field. He turns what is a kind of a defensive play into an offensive play. So that's all you can ask for.
I like that pick. Tyreek Hill, defensive player of the year. Okay, I'm going to go with someone a little different, and same, I guess, same kind of thing. A guy that just changed the way defenses look. I'm going to go with Brock Osweiler as my defensive player of the year. He made defenses look really, really good all season long.
So whoever he was playing against,
yes, he really helped him.
Yeah, well, I can't disagree with finally tried to get rid of him with Savage, right?
Yeah.
But that didn't last long, and there he was, back in defensive player of the year categories.
If you're the Houston Texans, what in the world do you do now? Do you go get? I mean, do you go spend more money? Do you go try to get Romo? Do you go, or do you just say, "Well, here's our bed. I guess we're sleeping in it."
You have to sleep in the bed. You can't. You know, this is such a cap game. Can't afford now. If it's a head coach or whatever, you do what you got to do. You fire the guy. You get a new guy. But if you're spending that amount of money, you're just going to have to bite the bullet.
Yeah.
And suffer through it, because you honestly, you're hamstringing, you know, at least 2 to 3 years down the road.
Yeah, you are.
Go spend money that you really don't have on somebody else, unless you draft somebody and then trot out a rookie. But no, you kind of have to, you signed him. He was the guy you wanted.
So, defensive player of the year, we sidestep Von Miller. We brush aside Khalil Mack, Vic Beasley. We've got Tyreek Hill and Brock Osweiler as our defensive players of the year here on the Daily Dose.
And I would suggest that they made more of an impact in these areas than the others you're talking about.
No question.
You know, we're joking a little bit, but honestly, with both Tyreek Hill, who did just a fantastic job at doing what he did, and then Brock doing just a horrible job, you know, they both won and lost games, you know, and they were the most impactful people on the field at times.
I think I saw late in the season, I think it's how the regular season ended, that Brock Osweiler averaged something like 6 yards per pass.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Okay, so who do you have for your coach of the year? Number of, you know, at least guys you could consider. Who's your coach of the year?
Well, you look at the different scenarios. I don't know that I can give a coach of the year to Garrett, even though they end up with a great season with rookies in key places. I don't know, even though the Chiefs end up where they were with the 12-win record, that you can give Reed a coach of the year. So I'm going to go with the team that did it the hard way and give Belichick coach of the year.
Yeah. Yeah. You know who I would consider? I would consider Mike McCarthy with the Packers, only because of how dinged up and how banged up the Green Bay Packers were all year. To even get as far as they did is actually amazing.
Every week.
Yeah.
Every week.
And starting running back, starting wide receiver, starting I mean, it wasn't like, oh, yeah, they lost a backup. I mean, he was losing some big-name guys.
Yeah. And the only reason, you know, one of the reasons you can't give it to McCarthy is because he does play in that division.
Yeah, you're not.
How hard would it be to win that division?
Right. But, no, I'll give you that.
They had other games to play, too, and he did have to coach through a lot of injuries. So, you know, it's not a bad choice.
Well, and Bill Belichick, I think, is the guy. Like you said, the start that they got off to, the dealing with the nonsense, and I believe it was self-inflicted, but dealing with the stuff off the field, dealing with being the favorite, dealing with being the big dog, all Belichick did was just kept winning and winning and winning and going forward. So Belichick is, to me, no question.
You know, I guess it's hard to say this because it's New England, but they do it under the radar.
Yeah.
And I don't know how that works, you know, but that's exactly what they did. They don't have those big-name guys on defense, but, you know, they did it without a lot of accolades, and when it comes down to that, that means coaching.
Well, and the fact that they did it without Gronkowski, when Gronkowski went out, you looked at them and said, okay, you're running out of receivers, you're running out of just targets to throw to, and somehow they manufacture more and more guys.
Right, yep.
That might have been as impressive as any of it to me.
I totally agree.
Okay, so when we're looking at going forward, obviously in the next year, and we've got to see how so many things play out, we've got to see free agency, we've got to see who's going to sign where. There's some of these teams that are out there, and the New England Patriots are one of them. The New England Patriots have some people that they've got to re-sign, but who are the big dogs going forward? Who are the teams we should be keeping an eye on going forward next year?
Well, no doubt, number one is Oakland.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
To your point, to my point earlier, if they would have had Derek Carr in those games, I honestly think that they beat New England.
They might have.
And I think
the way they were playing,
probably the only team that could, given what we saw play out. But I think for sure, you know, Oakland has got to be like the team that just tears me apart to say it, but the team that a lot of people are looking at to make a huge splash. And that's assuming that Carr comes back and there's no reason he shouldn't.
Right.
But that's number one. Second for me would be Dallas. I think you got to look at them. I think a year after what they did this year with now two proven guys in key positions, running back and quarterback.
Sure.
It'll be interesting. It'll be harder for them this year. Last year was, you know, all fun and games. You know, not a ton of expectations around the league. They
no.
have expectations in Dallas, but I don't think anybody thought that they would do what they did this year. So the pressure's going to be on a little more this year. We'll see how they handle it.
Well, they will, and like we talked about earlier, it'll be a little bit of a tougher schedule. It'll be a little bit more of the expectations that are there. And I do think that there is something to be said that when NFL defenses do get a read finally on that quarterback, they will take away what you like to do.
Yeah.
And I think Dak Prescott had the benefit this year of being able to hand off and hand off and hand off, and hey, you know, we can use him. Now, I thought Garrett made him throw the ball way, way, way too much. NFL defenses are going to start taking some things away the more that they see of him. And so it will be a little bit more challenging next year for the Dallas Cowboys. I like the Oakland Raiders. The Patriots, of course, going to be the big dogs. The Patriots do have a few free agents they're going to have to sign. Dante Hightower is a free agent. Martellus Bennett is a free agent.
Yes.
Chris Long is a free agent. They're going to have a few guys that they're going to have to, you know, LeGarrette Blount, I think, is a free agent. They've got a few guys they're going to have to re-sign. And they have a bunch of money to do that. They do have a lot of money, but you're going to have to re-sign your own before you can go out and start making some big splashy signings here, too.
You're right, and they do have money, but they don't always like to use their money.
No, they don't. And
they're smarter than everybody else, and they see that this guy may have, you know, a year or two that he might be serviceable to them, so, you know, they're more likely to trade him for picks or whatever. But yeah, those were key contributors for the team. So
yeah, they were.
How much they value contributions or what they think they can do in the next couple of years, for sure.
Well, couldn't you totally see them trading Rob Gronkowski?
Yes.
In a way, I'll be surprised if they don't.
Yeah.
And they could probably get something good for him.
If they feel like they can get something for him, he's gone.
Yeah, he is.
Proving that.
And I could also see, you know, Jimmy G heading somewhere else, too, where he would actually get a chance to start.
Right.
And so I could see them. Couldn't you just see the Cleveland Browns giving up way too much? And that just seems like an automatic kind of deal. So the Patriots are the favorite, but I think they have some things they're going to have to answer.
Right, and speaking of the Browns, it'll either be Jimmy G or it'll be Romo, you know, one of the two. It's something barely to keep them going, but you know what that looks like in game four of the season.
Sure. I'll throw out one other name that could end up in Cleveland. Jay Cutler. It's there or the Jets. I mean, there's only two choices.
Right, right. Well, I mean, to be honest with you, I mean, what are the options for him?
I don't know.
We know he's not going to be in Chicago, right?
I can't imagine that they're going to keep him there.
Yeah, so I don't know what he does. And I'm not sure that there's, you know, coaching profession is a tough profession, right?
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
These guys need players who are going to help them win. And I'm not sure Cutler has helped anybody win
ever,
the last decade.
Ever.
Right.
In the history of Jay Cutler, I don't know if he's ever helped a team win.
Speaking of quarterbacks, let me throw this one out at you.
Okay.
What in the world is Indy doing to Luck's career?
Destroying it.
I mean, he's a great quarterback, but, you know, we're going to look at this in 5 years and wonder what ever happened to him, aren't we?
Probably. Right now, I look at Andrew Luck and say, best case scenario, and I'm talking best case scenario, everything falls right for him. He ends up being the Dan Marino of his era. That's if things break well.
Yeah.
Because right now, he can't even get to the status where you say, well, he's really good, he just didn't have any help around him. Right now we're looking at him going, man, he's getting close to being David Carr, where
right.
he was down at Houston just getting killed week after week after week, and eventually you just wrecked him.
Right. We don't know. And he's a tough guy. We've seen that.
Yeah, he is.
He's a pretty tough guy, but there's only so much of that you can endure and expect to be a top-level quarterback.
Yeah.
And they're not doing much there to help him.
No, they're not. And he's just getting beat down again and again every single week. They end up getting rid of their GM 3 weeks after the season. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, there's some bad decision making going on there.
I don't like the way that's going down, and I don't like the lack of help that he's getting. He's a phenomenal quarterback. I really do think he has such a huge upside, but right now he is in a really, really bad place. Talk a little bit, are there any teams that kind of stand out to you? And I know we talked a little bit about the favorites. We talked a little bit about some of the big dogs that are coming back. Are there any teams out there that impressed you all at all this year, maybe a little bit younger, or teams that might be getting better that could be a team to watch next year?
Yeah, for sure. It seems like, I don't know why it seems like this, but I think Seattle seems like they were maybe off the radar. I think we'll see more of them next year.
Yeah, they might be back, huh?
I think they, you know, this is one of those where, did they just kind of take the year off or what?
And we're banged up. Really, right. a lot of injuries. That offensive line is still a problem. But I could see them returning to form again next year. You know the team I really liked, and I was really hoping the injury messed everything up? The Tennessee Titans were really starting to impress me.
Yeah, bingo. I was just going to say that. So I agree with you. I think they have all the makings of really being a force for a while.
Good offensive line, good running game. I really like Mariota a lot.
Yeah, and the defense, they always seem to have an emphasis on good, stout defense.
Yeah,
they're going to have a running game. Yeah, I'm right with you, Clint. They were dangerous last year. We saw that.
Yes, we did.
Let's be honest. In that division, they should take care of business in that division.
Absolutely.
As a division winner, that's all you're really asking for. They're set up as kind of a perennial division winner here for a few years.
You would think so. I want to see if they can go find a couple playmakers to put around Mariota.
Yeah.
You know, in the wide receiving game, maybe a tight end or somebody like that, that you just say, hey, now that offense looks a little bit explosive. They'll grind you and they'll wear you out a little bit. But I want to see if they could get some, surround him with some playmakers. That's a dangerous team. You know, Tampa is a team that I kind of like too. I thought they were a year away this year, but I did like some of what I see. Jameis Winston, I can't quite decide on him.
Yeah, I'm with you. I initially thought about them as kind of an up-and-coming team, but I think, you know, not so much as Tennessee. I think they're going to kind of be in the thick of things just because of the nature of the division they're in.
Yeah.
And I think they've added a number of young players, but boy, when I think they're on the upper side of that, because when you look at the other teams, you know, that we've been kind of eyeballing over the last couple of years, the Bills maybe, I think maybe the Bengals maybe on the downside now.
You would think so.
Yeah.
A lot of talent there, but they just can't seem to figure things out.
Right. The Redskins, I think, maybe one of those teams, not quite in the same category as Tennessee and the Buccaneers.
Sure.
And then the Saints, I don't know if they're on their way to down or up.
It's hard to figure that team out.
I don't know what to make of those guys.
I don't either. Every year we say the same thing. Every year we say if New Orleans ever figures out a defense, they're going to be a team and they can't figure out a defense.
Right. But boy, can they score points when they want.
Yes, they absolutely can.
Yeah.
Okay, here's the big question. What in the world are the Denver Broncos going to do?
So I put them in that last category. Yeah, we won the Super Bowl a year ago, but not an old team.
No.
I think not a, you know, extremely young team either, but I think we have a good core of young players that have been drafted. I think with a coaching change and coaching changes that we're kind of set up to succeed a little more maybe than we were last year. So I put us on that up-and-coming edge too. You know, our problem is we got a tough division. So
very tough division.
It's going to be hard. It's going to be hard to get in the playoffs.
Yeah, it will.
Any three of the top teams in the West. The AFC West. It's going to be a difficult proposition. But there's two wildcard teams, so I think between a division winner and two wildcard teams, I think the Broncos are in the playoffs next year. And that, I think, has to do a lot with, you know, the fact that we keep, you know, we're able to keep the majority of our players. Our defense is just so good. And they'll be good for a while, I think.
Should be.
You know, if anything, that Elway has proven is that he's going to make that a priority, and thank goodness, because that'll get you in the playoffs. I think the defense playing at the level that they had the last couple of years.
I'm going to make you GM for the day. You've got to name your starting quarterback. You can go with Trevor Siemian, you can go with Paxton Lynch, or you can go sign Tony Romo or try to, I don't know, trade for a Phillip Rivers or something like that. You're the guy. You get to make the call. Who is your starter going into next season for the Denver Broncos?
Trevor Siemian.
You going with Siemian?
Yeah. How about you?
I would probably go Siemian as well. I understand the arguments against him, and I understand. I am not yet sold on Paxton Lynch. I want to see more from him. I'm not sold on any of these free agent. Or that's the problem. The Tony Romo and these guys, and we haven't talked much on the dose about Tony Romo coming to Denver, Phillip Rivers coming to, because I think that's silly nonsense that has no business.
Right.
We don't have anything to trade for him, and we don't have the money to pay him, and we sure can't protect him.
Right. I mean, that last one's a key point. What's the point? Why would you throw a bunch of money at a free agent quarterback that you can't protect and potentially wouldn't have for a half a season or any part of the season?
No, he would get hurt wearing the red jersey in training camp. Forget getting him to the season.
He's getting hurt in the lunchroom, right?
Yes, that's picking up his tray.
Right. You don't have anything to, and you don't want to trade. Like,
no. So
I would suggest that a little better offensive scheme, a little better coaching, and a little better offensive line, that Trevor Siemian would do just as well as, and maybe not better, but just as well as a proven elderly quarterback that you could sign, you know, via free agency.
I would agree.
Just doesn't make any sense to throw money at something like that with no guaranteed payoff.
I do wonder why the Broncos didn't go to Paxton Lynch in that final game against the Raiders.
Isn't that interesting? I think everybody's wondering that. It's at the old, I'll show you who's coach of the team type thing.
Maybe.
Or seems like that's the case. Otherwise, why don't you put a guy in?
Or is it, I have no faith whatsoever in this kid, and he had no business even being drafted.
Well, but if I'm the coach, and I don't really have much to play for. And
put him in and show that.
I know that Gary was, he was already, you know, decided he wasn't coming back. But let's just say that he was coming back.
Okay.
Don't you want to scare him a little bit? Put him in a game, tell him it's his game, and he's going to finish it. And doesn't that give the guy some impetus over the off season to square his stuff away so that when he's prepared and is going to, you know, double his effort?
Man, I just was not impressed by what I saw from him. And forget, he's got a ton of tools. He's got a cannon for an arm. I just wasn't impressed with just the way he carried himself. His footwork was, I would say, elementary, but my goodness, I've seen peewee quarterbacks with better footwork than that. He didn't look prepared to play in an NFL game.
Yeah, and here's what I don't know. You know, I know that they've scaled back practices. They don't have as much off season with these guys.
Sure.
That in the Broncos situation, Trevor Siemian needed every rep in practice that he could possibly get.
You would think so, yeah.
I don't know how much opportunity Lynch had, really, to get any better after practice with coaches. I just don't know that. I don't know if there's a possibility. The NFL is going to have to address this, where a kid comes out of college not in a pro-style offense and doesn't have the tools that the NFL is looking for, but they're drafting based on athleticism and what they're able to do in 1 year of college. You know, I just like offensive lines, you know, don't get enough time to gel in the offseason. I'm not sure, unless you have a special team, a special offensive line, that a lot of these quarterbacks coming out of college are going to be able to make the cut in the first year. And I don't know how they get any better.
Right. Well, and the offensive line is just such a key. When you look at these quarterbacks, the younger guys that are having the success, you look at the Dak Prescott, he's playing behind this stacked offensive line. You look at the Marcus Mariota, he's playing behind this stacked offensive line.
Right.
Those are the guys that are having the success. If you aren't in that situation, we're not seeing much chance for success from these guys. And let's hope, for the Broncos' sake, that's what this was, and that Paxton Lynch is a diamond in the rough that we just haven't spotted, because when I saw him last year, whoo.
Yeah.
That was
rough.
Well,
we talked about this guy earlier. You have a very good quarterback behind a bad offensive line in Andrew Luck.
Yeah.
And
makes him look bad.
Getting them. It's just that those offensive lines are so key to success.
Yeah, they absolutely are. And I think that's a big takeaway for me in this season in general, was the offensive lines ended up carrying certain teams as far as they did. You look at the Atlanta Falcons, Matt Ryan behind that offensive line. You look at the New England Patriots. Hey, Brady wasn't getting touched all that often until the, you know, first half of that Super Bowl. Throughout the playoffs, he wasn't getting breathed on.
That's right.
So for the most part, you put together a decent offensive line, combine it with a quarterback with any ability whatsoever, and you've got yourself a recipe for at least being pretty competitive. Absolutely. Derek Carr the same way in Oakland.
Absolutely.
It was an interesting year. It was a fun year. I am genuinely always sad to see the NFL season go.
Yeah, there's a hole, right?
Absolutely.
You know me. There's a lot of things on TV right now, but I don't even... Do we still have a professional hockey team?
I've heard rumors. I went and saw the closest thing to a professional hockey game in Denver the other night. Went and saw DU play the other night.
Well, I know you did because I was with you.
Yes.
And that was a pleasure, by the way.
That's the best team in the state of Colorado playing hockey right now.
Best hockey team in the state of Colorado.
That's brutal.
Beat CC and then ended up beating CC again the next night.
Yes, they did.
Nice sweep for the old Pios.
I knew you were going to get some Pio talk in here tonight. Just knew that was coming.
And lacrosse has started too. So DU beat Air Force the other day.
I did see that. Is DU lacrosse going to be another threat to win it all this year?
Absolutely, Clint. We're a threat to win it every year.
How's the old ski team? We haven't had any ski talk this year.
You know, the ski team is they're getting there.
They're getting down the mountain, you might say.
We're always in the running there as well, right? So
so I'm told. I have no idea.
Yeah. No, maybe we'll have some updates here on that later.
I don't know that we will. I have no idea.
But Clint, you're always interested in national championships, and you know,
sure.
DU's had a few of those, and will continue to be forces in at least those three major college sports.
Here's what I don't know: when it comes to college skiing, do they just put all the skiers at the top, and whoever gets down to the bottom wins the national championship? How does that work?
It's the Chinese fire drill.
They just head down a million miles an hour, and hopefully you end up front.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. And
okay.
And there's you jab your ski pole into the other guy's legs.
Oh, I like. See, now this would make skiing more interesting.
Well, it would. Yes.
I would watch that.
And then, you know, typically halfway down the mountain, it's a requirement that you ski backwards.
Okay.
For another quarter.
Okay. Sure. That livens things up. Here's my question to you. My final question to you.
Okay.
How do you fill the time without the NFL now? Is there something you're going to be watching besides DU lacrosse and DU hockey? Or
no, I'm always in the same position every year. My hobby at this stage is to try and figure out how I can tune my own skis.
Okay.
To soak up some of the time.
Is that what you do? You tune your skis?
Yes.
I've never been skiing, so I don't. You put new spark plugs in the skis? What do you have going when you're tuning those skis?
You have to sharpen your edges.
Okay.
And wax. Got to get some new wax on there.
Gotcha.
And, you know, and then I start thinking about getting the mower out and maybe, you know,
it's
the
coming.
Carburetor. And,
it's
you know,
coming.
Things like that.
Okay. Well, we're going to have to try to occupy some time between now and the next NFL season. And I fully expect you to be stopping by the Daily Dose and helping us out with that.
Clint, it would be my pleasure. I feel like you are a host that appreciates different things in sports, like skiing and lacrosse. So
of course,
I'm going to bring a couple things
to
the table now that the NFL season is over, and we can chat about a couple of those things, and maybe just kind of bring some new things like that to light on the Daily Dose.
All right, I'm going to hold you to that because it does start to get a little bit thin now. Fortunately, we've got some NBA and we've got college hoops coming, but hey. Outside of that, it's looking like the desert out here. So we will be glad to have you back on any time, and we will talk about a variety of subjects. But thank you for stopping by and capping off this NFL season with us.
Hey, Clint, it's always a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Hey, just a quick reminder. You need gifts, or maybe you just want to do some shopping. You just feel like buying something. Don't forget, head over to lootcrate.com/dailydose. Loot Crate, of course, delivers pop culture crates filled with exclusive items and apparel from your favorite TV shows, from your favorite movies, and from your favorite video games. You can go get a crate. You can go get a subscription to crates, or you can just go order individual items, and they do have some really cool individual items over there. You can get crates that feature Harry Potter's Wizarding World, Firefly, Halo, Marvel Comics, Power Rangers, Lego Dimensions. They have a ton of stuff over there. And of course, the best part is when you place your order, put Daily Dose in the coupon box and you will get 10% off. Loot Crate will kick us a little bit of money. We will forward that money to the Billy Betts Lacrosse Fund, which will help some needy kids get involved in sports. You get the gifts and the merchandise and the cool stuff that you actually want. And you get to help out some kids get involved in sports. Everybody wins in this scenario. Don't forget to head over to lootcrate.com/dailydose. Now, as we do every single week, we have got to get to our Daily Dose top five. You know, with Valentine's Day being yesterday, we all kind of have one word on our mind here at the Daily Dose. No, not love. I'm not talking about love. I'm talking about hate. Do you realize that most polls showed that over 80% of Americans were actually cheering against the New England Patriots in the Super Bowl? Why is that? Why is it that we hate certain teams? Remember, it was just back in like 2001, most of the country was actually cheering for the Patriots to pull the upset and beat the St. Louis Rams in the Super Bowl. So what is it that changed? Now, over 80% of Americans cheering against the Patriots hate the Patriots. Now, usually, you can look back at teams in this kind of situation, and those teams usually have three things. Now, they may have one or two or all three things, but they usually have one of, you know, these three things have happened. One, you have to be a winner. We don't hate teams that don't win, right? Like right now, you don't hate the Cleveland Browns. They don't win anything. Nobody cares about the Cleveland Browns. They're not even on your radar. So you don't hate them. Two, usually you have to have like a jerk or at least perceived jerks on your team. Like it helps a little bit if some of the guys on the team seem like, you know, they're kind of arrogant or maybe they're kind of jerks or they're always kind of talking trash or whatever it might be. That helps, right? And three, it usually helps people hate your team if it is perceived that maybe you have gotten away with something. Maybe you have kind of gotten over on everybody. That helps everybody to start hating you. So right now, on our Daily Dose Top 5, we are going to count down the Daily Dose Top 5 most hated NFL teams of all time. And when you think back to these teams, kind of think about it. They all kind of have these three things. So what teams were the most hated NFL teams ever? Number 5 on our list has to be those 70s Pittsburgh Steelers teams. Hey, the Steelers had all the aspects to hate. They had that nasty defense, led by, let's be honest, some pretty bad dudes. You had Joe Green. You had Jack Lambert. You had Mel Blunt. And then on offense, they had some really kind of polarizing offensive players, right? People always said quarterback Terry Bradshaw was too dumb. They said wide receiver Lynn Swan was too pretty. And they said that fullback Franco Harris always seemed like he would avoid the big hits. He would slide down. He would go out of bounds whenever possible. And then they had those fans that had those stupid, terrible towels swinging around. And of course, don't forget, there was all that winning. The Steelers won 4 Super Bowls from 1974 to 1979. Pittsburgh appeared in 7 conference championship games from 72 to 84. Now, did they ever get away with anything? Well, you can kind of look back at that immaculate reception, can't you? I mean, based on the rules at that time, based on the fact that the football couldn't touch an offensive player and then be caught by another offensive player, I have a hard time looking at that play and just saying physically it kind of had to touch an offensive player. And as a result, the Steelers went on to the Super Bowl. The Steelers went on to championships. Hey, they had all three aspects of everything you choose to hate in a team. Those 70 Steelers, definitely a team that a number of people hated. Number 4 on our list. Now, number 4 on our list, I'll be honest, it has less to do with a ton of winning, although they obviously won, more to do with where they had come from. Because don't forget that the 2000 Baltimore Ravens had been the Cleveland Browns when all of a sudden owner Art Modell packed them up, moved them to Baltimore during the 1996 NFL season. And then just 4 years later, the Ravens boasted one of the greatest defenses, honestly, in NFL history. You had players like Tony Banks, Jamal Lewis, Rod Woodson, Chris McAllister. Yeah, you're kind of starting to get some of those bad feelings, right? And of course, Shannon Sharp. And they rolled all the way to Super Bowl 35. Well, we didn't really hate that many of the players. Maybe there's a couple that you're like, eh, I don't really care about them. Well, and then Ray Lewis pled guilty to obstruction of justice in connection with a dual stabbing that left two men dead. And the suit that Ray Lewis was wearing, that was reportedly all covered in blood, was never found. Ray Lewis got 12 months probation. He was fined a whopping $250,000 by the NFL. Of course, the murder was never solved, and a lot of fans started to hate the Baltimore Ravens. First, you had a team that really wasn't yours. That was the Cleveland Browns. And second, yeah, it kind of felt like you got away with one with the whole Ray Lewis thing, didn't it? And now, if you even bring up the Ray Lewis thing, everybody's all insulted. Oh, how dare you bring that up? That's old stuff. Something happened there. I don't know exactly what, but there's no question that the 2000 Baltimore Ravens were a team that a number of people kind of hated. Number three on our list. Hey, this is one of the most controversial teams ever. Nearly every player on the entire team was deemed to be dirty. Yes, I'm talking about those 1970s Oakland Raiders. Of course, quarterback Kenny Stabler, big partier. He was crazy. They say he'd be up all night the night before a game. Wide receiver Fred Biletnikoff was somehow like a balding, I don't know how you're balding, like a balding hippie, and covered head to toe in stickum. Linebacker Ted Hendricks. What was Ted Hendricks' nickname? Anybody? Kick him in the head, Ted. You know, Steelers head coach Chuck Knoll actually wanted to prosecute safety Jack Tatum for his criminal element on the field. And don't forget all the plays they got away with. The Holy Roller, I hate to bring this up, the paralyzation of Patriots wide receiver Daryl Stingley. There were the fights, there were the arrests, and of course, owner Al Davis loved every minute of it. He looked for those kind of players. He looked to bring them in, and it seemed like those kind of players had success in Al Davis's world. The Oakland Raiders in the 1970s were one of the most hated teams ever. The only thing, honestly, that kept them from being higher was that they only won one Super Bowl. But they did win a ton of games during that time. The only thing, they had to go through those 70 Steelers, and it seemed like they just couldn't get past them in so many seasons. They won a lot of games, no question about that. Those 70s Raiders, a team that everybody hated. So who's number two on our list? Don't have to go quite as far back to get number two. First, their new owner, Jerry Jones, had bought the team and fired everyone from Tom Landry clear down to the ball boys. And then head coach Jimmy Johnson built a monster. Yes, I'm talking about those 1990s Dallas Cowboys with Troy Aikman and Emmitt Smith and Michael Irvin. And of course, they got Ken Norton Jr. And then they brought in Deion Sanders and Charles Haley and Leon Lett and Russell Maryland. And yes, there were arrests and there was cocaine and there were hookers and there was a lot of winning. The Cowboys won three Super Bowls in just 4 years. And of course, we get the whole America's team thing jammed down our throats. And when you hear right now, even today, when you hear that, how about them Cowboys? It just kind of makes your skin crawl to this day, doesn't it? Hated those 90s Dallas Cowboys teams. Couldn't stand them. So who is the most hated NFL team in history? Like we just talked about, it wasn't that long ago. We were cheering for a first-year starter named Tom Brady. And then something changed. For one, the current-day New England Patriots won a lot of games. And then you had Spygate, and then you had Deflategate, and don't forget, of course, about Aaron Hernandez Murdergate. All those things happened. The Patriots had guys that you just kind of didn't like. They had the Rob Gronkowskis and the Randy Mosses and Corey Dillons and Mike Vrabel and Junior Seau and Teddy Bruschi and Rodney Harrison, and we get told over and over about the Patriot way. And don't forget, of course, the Patriots did win those five Super Bowls. And we get Brady and Belichick jammed down our throats again and again and again. And you, listening right now, you have friends that have no ties whatsoever to Boston. And suddenly, your friend is this huge Patriots fan. And they're telling you how they knew all along Brady and Belichick were going to be probably the greatest coach-quarterback combo forever. You're not from Boston. Stop talking that way. What is it about people jumping on the bandwagon? We might have to add that to the list. We might have to add that to the list of why people hate teams. First off, they win. Second, you've got some maybe jerks on the team. Third, you kind of get away with stuff, and there's a feeling that maybe, I don't know, you cheated or something. And then fourth, there's a lot of people jumping on your bandwagon. Yes, that definitely helps in teams that we hate. Hey, next week, we will recap NBA All-Star Weekend. We'll take a look back, at least a little bit, of what is going on in the NBA and how the NBA All-Star Weekend went. College basketball did release their first top 16 bracket this past week. We'll have to take a look at that bracket next week and take a little bit of a closer look at exactly what it is that college basketball is doing. And of course, as you just saw, our Daily Dose Top 5, you've always got to make sure that you stick around for that. Hey, please, go wherever it is that you download the Daily Dose and just click that little subscribe button. It helps us get seen by a few more people, and you will be sure not to miss a single episode. Feel free to contact us with what's on your mind. You can email us at dailydosesports@gmail.com, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. Be sure to do any shopping that you might need to at lootcrate.com/dailydose and enter Daily Dose in the coupon box. You'll get 10% off your order. Have to say thanks to Larry for stopping by, talking some NFL with us. You have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all next week.